The reading is written in Psalm 121. This can be found on page 622 in the Church Bible. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you please stand for the gospel?
The gospel is written in Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 16, to be found on page 1000 in the Church Bible. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. All glory to you, O Lord. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Be seated. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to look at this psalm, which may be familiar to a lot of us, I just pray that you will give us open ears, open hearts, open minds to hear what you have to say to us afresh this morning. Amen. As we saw in the family slot, we can all help people, and we do. I only have to think about my St. Pat's family and know they've helped me in so many ways. In my Christian journey, Ailish helping me to discern my calling to be a reader, my home group praying and supporting me over the years, Martin helping me develop skills in leading a retreat, but also in practical ways, like when Helen and Matt helped build my TV stand and tables when I moved into my flat. They're still going strong after 14 years. Dave helping me to sell my car. Rachel helping me to organise and host a significant birthday party. I could go on and on. All of these people and so many more have helped and continue to help me in lots of ways. I'm sure you have your own list, along with that list of people who help us in our everyday lives. The plumber, the decorator, the garage. But there are times when they let us down. The plumber does something wrong and suddenly the bathroom is flooded. The decorator hangs the wallpaper upside down. The garage can't fit you in for weeks and weeks. Or we ask someone to help us and they just aren't able to or don't want to. What this psalm reminds us of is how God is always there to help us. We just need to lift our eyes towards him. At the start of a new year, it's good to be reminded that God is always there for us. He will protect us and he will not let us slip. So as we reflect on this psalm, you might want to have it open in front of you because we're going to look through all of the psalm and some characteristics of God. Firstly, we're going to look at him as our helper. Secondly, as our keeper. and finally, as our preserver and protector. I do love the words of Psalm 121. I think it's a beautiful psalm and such an encouragement, particularly if life's hard. As one Christian put it, it's a psalm that marks life's journeys, for it reminds us that the Lord is our keeper from our birth until our death. I love the imagery throughout the psalm that God will keep us safe throughout our lives. So let's start by looking at God, our helper. Now, this psalm is often called the Traveller's Psalm. It's a song that the people of Israel would sing as they made their way to the temple in Jerusalem to worship. There were three major feasts each year, and pilgrims would make the journey from their homes to faraway Jerusalem for at least one of them. For this annual journey, many of them would travel on foot. And although it would have been a familiar journey, the road was dangerous and uncertain, with the risk of attack from bandits. But also, as they walked, they were fully exposed to the scorching heat of the day and the volatile weather at night, dangerous in itself. As they walked, they would look up and see on the hills sacred places of worship, some marked by an altar or other icons. But these high places were not built to worship our God. They were pagan altars and might have looked quite intimidating as the pilgrims passed by. And along the road, the people would meet threats from above and below, most of which they could not see or predict. There was the risk of harm from robbers who hid in caves and high up on the hills, knowing exactly when to expect their victims, poised, ready to attack as the pilgrims passed by. It was a long and dangerous journey, and people must have felt afraid at times. Picture the scene of the pilgrims walking through valleys, perhaps looking up, worried about whether they would make it safely to Jerusalem, fearful of their lives. But now let's look at their response. They didn't cover their mouths in fear. They didn't stay silent. Instead, they raised an anthem. They cried out with hope into the uncertainty, drowning their fears with verse and chorus. They sang against the danger. They sang Psalm 121. There's something about singing which is a great encouragement. I'm sure you've heard football and rugby fans singing together to encourage each other and the players on the pitch, especially when it's classed as an important match. I remember being asked at work what I missed most during lockdown, and I said singing in church. I love singing to God as part of our worship, encouraging each other in words of the songs and hymns, hearing others alongside singing those same words to me to encourage me. Just imagine the singing the words of this psalm, either to yourself if you're on your own walking through the valleys as an encouragement to keep your spirits up, or in a great crowd of people to encourage one another as you walk the path to Jerusalem, unsure and anxious, maybe afraid of what lies ahead. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The pilgrims knew their help didn't come from the pagan altars and the symbols overlooking them. They knew their help came from the Lord. Just looking up at the mountains and the hills around them and seeing the wonder of God's creation in the landscape would also be a reminder of where their help came from. The maker of heaven and earth could be seen all around them as they walked. It must have been a great source of comfort for weary travellers to be reminded of God's presence, singing those words as they made the difficult pilgrimage to Jerusalem. These words were written some 3,000 years ago, and we may not be on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, but they are still relevant to us today. What the words of this psalm tell us is that God is with us always, whatever the problem, whatever the challenge we face, however big it is, God is bigger. We only have to lift our eyes to see him. If I'm feeling sad or down, I don't know about you, but I tend to gaze downwards. Don't want to catch anyone's eye. Don't want to look at the world around me. I might see someone having fun and laughing, and I don't want to be reminded that life can be good. I want to be in my misery, and looking downwards helps me do that. But if I do happen to look up, just as the pilgrims did thousands of years ago, I am reminded of God's presence in the wonder of his creation around me. And yes, I might see people laughing and having fun, but actually it's good to be reminded that life can be fun. Things will change and be good again. I see things that just remind me that God is with me, and that lifts my spirit and helps me persevere onwards. In looking up and being reminded of God's presence, we can see how God helps us when we face difficulties. So when you're feeling challenged or in a difficult place, take time to lift your eyes up. We may not have mountains in Wallington, but just looking up and seeing the beauty of creation, we're reminded of God's presence. Although it's been cold and frosty, the sunrises and sunsets have been really quite spectacular. And if you look up on the banks of hills, you can see snowdrops appearing. The world is starting to wake up from its winter slumber. The wonder of God's creation bursting back into life reminds us of the promise that God is with us always and will always help us. Ultimately, he is the only one who can help us, and he does that by being our keeper. So let's move on to look at God's second characteristic in this psalm of being our keeper. The psalmist goes on in verse 3 through to the start of verse 5. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. In our Bibles, the phrase watch over is used many times in this psalm. In other translations, the word keep is used in its place. The Hebrew word keep also means to guard or watch over. And if you think about it, the use, it makes perfect sense. We keep lots of things. We keep a dog or we keep a cat. A soldier keeps watch overnight. We keep things safe. But we just have a computer or we just have a car. Keeping has to do with care. The psalmist used the word over and over to emphasize the Lord keeps us. The Lord cares for us. He doesn't sleep on the job or even take a break. He will never leave us. The Lord can keep us because there is nothing God cannot do. No crisis or circumstance can overwhelm him. He is never surprised or shaken. He made all things, sustains all things, rules all things, including every detail of our lives, even on the most difficult days. No hill is too high or night too dark for him. And how do we know this? How is this psalm relevant to us today when it was written over 3,000 years ago? Because the psalmist ends with the promise that the Lord will watch over our coming and going, both now and forevermore. The English Standard Version Bible translates this verse as, "The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." I love the proactivity of that translation, that the Lord isn't just watching over us. He's keeping us. He's keeping an eye on everything we do. He cares about us and wants us to be safe. So God helps us and keeps us. And finally, let's look at how he protects and preserves us. Verses 5 to 8 say, "The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." Being a Christian doesn't mean that life will be a bed of roses. that we will not suffer pain or sorrow. No, that is for the next life, the New Jerusalem. As we're told in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, He, God, will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That is what we are being preserved for. But for now, in the life we lead here today, we will still face trials and hardships. We'll still face the grief of losing a loved one, the anxiety of not being able to afford life's essentials, or the pain of illness. But we have the reassurance of God is with us in those hard times. And ultimately, He will protect us from harm and preserve us for a life with Him in eternity. I remember hearing one Christian say that life is messy. And it's not that God isn't there, He is. God is there in the mess with us. I think that sums it up. God is with us in the mess of our lives. But no matter what we are facing, He will not let our feet slip. He is there with us, alongside us, caring for us and protecting us. But what will He preserve us from? Well, anything that might ultimately take us away from Him. I love the promise in Romans 8, verses 38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's ultimately how God preserves us, by not allowing us to be separated from Him. In verse 5, in our psalm, it says, He is your shade at your right hand, meaning that no one is nearer to us than the one who keeps and protects us. The same word here, which is translated as shade, also translates as shadow. And I think that creates a wonderful image. God is like our shadow. Your shadow follows you every moment of the day. There is nowhere to escape from it. When we are walking in the light, in the sunshine, the shadow is clearly seen, walking with us wherever we go. God has promised us, as we heard in the gospel reading from Matthew, in chapter 28, verse 20, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." If God is there, there is nothing in our circumstances that should cause us to fear. For He is with us, protecting us. Nothing can come between us and God. Verse 6 goes on, "The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night." As the pilgrims walked, they were exposed to the elements and huge swings in temperature. Sunburn was a high risk during the day, and in night it would become incredibly cold. But the pilgrims sing to remind themselves that God will protect them from harm. Nothing, day or night, can rob us of God's love and protection. And the psalmist reminds us that the Lord is with us, watching over us all the time. God doesn't sleep. A friend of mine has a fridge magnet which reads, "Before you go to bed, give your worries to God. He'll be up all night anyway." It is so very reassuring that in those times when life is hardest, God is with us. But what is even greater is the promise that He is with us not just now, but forevermore. We will never be alone. I do love those last two verses, that the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. God is with us always. His promises to help us, keep us, and protect us over our whole lives, now and forever. We know God keeps His promises. We know throughout our lives He loves and cares for us and is with us when the journey is difficult, and we know He preserves us. And how do we know this? Because He fulfilled His greatest promise to send His Son Jesus to live amongst us. to die for us, for our sins, and to rise again to give us eternal life. As it says in that great verse in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God himself went through great suffering and grief. Jesus' death, nailed to the cross, a most painful and humiliating death. And yet he went through that for us, to save you and me, though we have done nothing to deserve or earn it. If you're already a Christian, this won't be anything new to you. But sometimes it's good to be reminded, particularly when times are hard. If you're not yet a Christian, then hear those words. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that we might have eternal life. We do nothing to deserve or earn it. We only have to believe. But God won't force himself on us. He won't force us to believe in him. We have to make the conscious decision to believe and follow him. We need to take that step of faith and choose to follow Jesus. And if you want to know more, then joining the Hope Explored course next week would be a really great way to start. Making that decision to follow Jesus won't stop bad things happening. People we love will still die. We will still face hardships and challenges. We may lose our jobs or become seriously ill, or life may not go as we had hoped. But in that pain, we can know with confidence God is with us. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Like the pilgrims heading to Jerusalem, we know that our help doesn't come from the material things around us. Our help comes from Jesus. That simple act of physically lifting our eyes can in some small way remind us of God's loving presence. And if we lift our eyes here today, we have that wonderful physical reminder hanging before us, the empty cross. We today have an advantage over the pilgrims from 3,000 years ago. We have Jesus. We know that he came to live amongst us and died for us for our sins, that he rose again to give us eternal life. The cross simply reminds us that the great sacrifice God made for us, because without the cross, we would not have hope. Because of the cross, we are not alone. God is with us. As the psalmist wrote, now and forevermore. He is the one who we should turn to when times are hard, certain in the knowledge that he is there with us, watching over us, caring for us, keeping us, protecting us and preserving us for eternal life with him. Isn't that a wonderful encouragement? I lift my eyes up to the cross. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, the Lord who watches over me, the Lord who will keep me from harm, the Lord who will watch over my life now and forevermore. Amen.